James.
Cody!
I don't know how I feel right now.
Why in the world is that?
Because Big Al is talking trash.
And smiling and laughing while he's doing it.
That is fair. Don't feel weird.
It's awkward. Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Monday evening?
Oh, James, I am fan-freaking-tastic. A lot of things are happening in my own personal life beside the point, but we're having a good time. How are you, Mr. James?
Listen, I'm amped, man. I'm ready to go.
Yeah?
Lots of stuff happening in Steeler news.
Lots of stuff is definitely happening. You're not wrong there.
Some new reviews, which we're going to talk about. You're absolutely getting your shout out. We promised it.
Yes, we did.
In a month in review from April. We missed it last week. Sorry. I was a little distracted.
We did. Last week, it was a whole draft. We were Facebook Live. There was a lot going on last week. So yeah. We will give you guys the last month in review, just a week late.
Yep. So we're going to start there. With the Steelers by the Lake news, of course, we'll start off with the top downloaded states within the United States. So, last month, Pennsylvania, number one. How weird.
Shocker.
Ohio, number two.
They typical.
Usually are number two. Virginia came in at number three. And then a tie between Minnesota and North Carolina.
Okay. We'll take that, Minnesota. We see you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's usually where Texas falls into place. So interesting to see the new listeners in Minnesota really, really bringing their A game. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Make sure you guys reach out to us. Let us know. Also, just to bring some light into the awkward silence that you just heard a moment ago, I want you guys to know that it's just as awkward for us. We just stare at each other and wait for figure out what we're going to say. It's a good time, though.
Who's going next? I don't know.
That was the States. Now we're going to go ahead and go into the world, or I should say the globe. United States, number one. No
what?
Surprise there. Germany, the good old faithful. We thank you guys so much. They are falling in there right at number two. Canada was a close number three this last month. And then the fourth place country was Paraguay.
Very cool.
I'll take that.
Very cool.
Thank you, everyone all around the world. It is awesome to see Steelers Nation truly uniting over just a simple podcast. It's awesome to see. We appreciate it so much.
And speaking of firsts, we actually, this month, since the last time we recorded, got our first download in Manitoba, Canada.
Hey, we see you.
That's like the sixth or seventh different province now in Canada that we've had downloads in. So pretty cool. All along, we've been keeping an eye on the states in the United States that we have not had downloads in yet, because there's very few left, pretty much just a few in the Midwest, Alaska, and then a couple up in the Northeast. And now it's starting to look like maybe all the blank spaces in Canada are going to fill in too. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, listen, those Midwest states are they have Steelers fans there. They just need all you guys listening to share it with them. Make sure you share our posts on Facebook when we put new stuff out, new episodes and stuff like that. Share what we're doing. We would love to see our family grow, and we'd love to see you be a helping factor in that. I also want to say something real quick. A question that we have for the viewers, James, I'm kind of springing this on you. If we did a giveaway, what would you guys be interested in for a giveaway? Would you guys be interested in a new one of the rookie Steeler jerseys? Would you guys be interested in some kind of memorabilia? What are you guys interested in? We're debating on doing that. We've been debating it for a while. It's nothing that might happen right now unless we get some major feedback. But we want to know what you guys would want us to do as a giveaway or a social media challenge or whatever. So get back to us on social media, message us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and let us know what you would want. So moving forward to the 5-star review.
Yes. So 5-star review came in. We noticed it right after the last recording. Actually, it looks like this person did it April 25th.
They did. April 25th. I don't know how to pronounce this. I apologize if I butcher it. Kalik Lepi or Kale Kleppy. It's hard to pronounce. I'm not sure which one it is. But they gave a 5-star review. Great podcast, they said. And the comment said, "This podcast is my favorite Steelers podcast. You make me laugh, and I get up to date on all Steelers news." Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to make you laugh. So who cares about the Steelers news? No, I'm just kidding.
We appreciate it very much. And honestly, this is such an important thing for us. The more people do 5-star reviews for us, especially on Apple Podcasts, till some of these other platforms start getting that kind of rating system, it'll be a little tougher. There is a rise currently in downloads in Podcast Addict. And that, I think, is due to Apple experiencing some issues this month. So they do have a rating system. We will keep an eye on that as well.
Absolutely.
You give us a 5-star review in Podcast Addict or an Apple Podcast or anywhere that you're able to, we will talk about it on this show.
Yeah, and we are definitely, I would say that we're one of the up-and-coming podcast shows. Not to toot our own horn or anything, but I looked something up last week, and it said top 15 Steelers podcasts that you should listen to, and we made the top 10. We were right there at number 10, but we made the top 10.
Hey, listen, there's a lot of Steelers podcasts featuring ex-players and radio personalities that are currently in Pittsburgh.
I'm just a podcast person.
So for us to be in the top 10 like that, I take a lot of pride in that. I think that's really awesome, and that doesn't happen without you folks supporting us.
Amen.
Speaking of support, new likes on the Facebook page, Chris Ashy, Dolores Price, Raymond Washington, and Jabari Wilson all like the page this week. Appreciate it very much, folks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So that's going to finish up the Steelers by the Lake news. We are going to move on to Steelers news, the stuff you're actually here for, other than the laughter. First thing, Pittsburgh went out and signed a cornerback by the name of DeMarcus Acy.
DeMarcus was an undrafted guy in 2020, as a lot of players were. When you didn't get an opportunity to compete at a pro day, you just end up in nowhere land, right? He bounced around from a couple different practice squads. He was 6'2", 195 pounds, and the Steelers scooped him up, right? He's an outside corner, will not be somebody competing for the nickel position.
Not
that's
at all.
For sure. But long, good ball skills as far as going after a jump ball. And a little bit more of a zone defender than he is in man coverage. But with the lack of depth at the corner position, this is someone who could make some waves in the preseason. So be very interesting to see. But when they signed him, they did need to cut a couple guys to make some room. And that meant tight end Charles Jones and punter Corliss Waitman were expendable. And those are probably expendable guys more because of the draft, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The punter was definitely because of the new punter we have in...
Big Diesel?
Big Diesel. PH3?
PH3?
The big manhole... I don't even know.
The leg.
He's more than... I don't even know. I'm, like, just still in shock about how large
Legatron.
This man is. Legatron. That's a good one. We have Mapletron and Legatron. That
yes,
was a good one.
Let's go.
So, yeah, those were definitely moves because of that. Now, in other news with roster situations, Steelers, we said last week they picked up the fifth-year option on Minka Fitzpatrick. They did choose not to pick up the fifth-year option with Terrell Edmunds. Now, when asked about it, they said, you know, hey, this doesn't mean we're not interested in keeping him. Cap is just going to be tight. For him to get a fifth-year option gives him probably more money than what he might re-sign for. Just how it's worked out in the system of, you know, those fifth-year options and what the guys can make. With that being said, they were also asked about the Minka thing. And, James, they said...
It was a no-brainer. but realistically, you look at it, Minka's an all-pro. Terrell Edmunds, in his time with the team thus far, has not had any Pro Bowl appearances. And it's not that he's being slighted against. He just hasn't earned them yet. And the guys that get the big money in free agency, the guys that get re-signed, are the ones that make the splash plays. Minka makes the splash plays, and that isn't Terrell Edmunds' game yet. I won't be surprised if Pittsburgh does attempt to retain him, but not at the $7 million it would have cost for the franchise tag on him or the fifth-year option there. So I think if they do re-sign him, they'll try to keep him in that $5 or $6 million per year kind of number, which is a little bit easier to stomach on a safety who is probably like middle of the road.
Yeah. That's definitely fair. So I mentioned, if you heard in the pre-show, talking about Big Al talking trash, before Big Al was talking trash, he got signed to the Baltimore Ravens, yeah. You know, the rival. And with that being said, they signed him at the day after we would have got any kind of compensation pick for him. And then if that wasn't on purpose, you know, that's definitely what their plan was.
It was.
And then Big Al came out and was asked about how it feels to now play for a run first offense. And the comment was made basically, I'm not going to quote it, but that, you know, the wide receivers aren't getting as many catches. They aren't as happy. They're making TikToks and having fun on their social media.
Yeah, and he mentioned that he feels that most offensive linemen would prefer to run block than pass block, which does make sense. Doesn't mean that he's going to be better at it than he was in Pittsburgh. Let's be transparent about that.
Yeah, very true.
He didn't. It's a difficult thing for offensive linemen as tall as him, being 6'9", to win the leverage battle to move another human being. You got the reach when you're that tall. You can get into the guy before he can get into you. But if you can't get underneath his pads, it is very difficult to move a man. The defender can just kind of sink his hips, and then you're not going to move him backwards.
True.
So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. They basically said that they're looking at him as a possible starter at the beginning of the year at left tackle if Ronnie Stanley is not all the way healthy from injuries last season yet. And when he does come back, if he does come back week one or not until later on, then they'll just slide him over to the right-hand side and play him over there, which Villanueva has not played on the right-hand side yet.
And he'd be going up against TJ Watt.
That's not great for him. That's not twice a year, yeah. That's not great for him.
But it's great for us.
And honestly, the other side, Alex Highsmith and now with Quincy Roche, they're guys that are good at getting that bend and getting low. TJ's also good at that bend, and that's something that Villanueva struggles with, a guy that can get low and turn the corner that way. So it looks kind of like the Steelers' outside linebackers are kind of built for what Big Al's not good at blocking.
Yeah, basically is what it is, and that's actually really good to hear. And so I did hear multiple people come out and talk about, I listened to a couple different shows and podcasts and everything. And the Pat McAfee show on YouTube, they did talk about how some people felt like it was Big Al joking with Juju because they have a good relationship. And other people were like, no, that was a personal attack on somebody that he felt should have kept their mouth shut during the season. They could have won more games, blah, blah, blah. I personally don't even, I really don't care personally. If he's joking, that's cool. That's fun. They still have a joking relationship now that he's on a rival team. If he wasn't, big whoop. We're going to settle on the football field.
Yeah, and realistically, they're never going to go against each other on the football field. And I kind of doubt that the man that taught Juju how to drive a car is just going to turn his back on him like that. Juju's not a malicious person. He's not out there making enemies with people. And it doesn't seem to me like Villanueva is either. He's such a team-first kind of guy that I think he's getting a lot of unnecessary heat, a lot of unnecessary evil thrown his way right now. He's still a good guy. You know, he jokingly said that his new teammate, Kevin Zeitler, was going to be an upgrade as far as a travel buddy over David DeCastro, which is basically his best friend on the team. Yeah. Like, and he's laughing and smiling while he's saying these things. Like, you have to understand that some of this is just him having some fun with some of his buddies, yeah. You know? These are guys that he grew to become brothers with almost. So he's going to poke some fun and have a little fun when he can here.
And especially when you get signed to a rival team like that, you're going to have fun with it because you've been on the other side of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see when they go head to head, if anyone does take that personal. But with them not getting any compensatory picks for that signing, that kind of concretes it where we're at. So a third round pick is what we should receive for the loss of Bud Dupree. It's projected to be a fifth round pick for compensation of Matt Filer and a sixth for Hilton. Some folks are saying that the signing of Joe Haig, the tight end from Tampa Bay, could actually cancel out Hilton, which doesn't make any sense to me since Hilton was $6 million a year and Hag was like $2.5 million a year. But whatever, you know, if the experts say it, then that might be it. But personally, I'm going to be voting for Joe Haig to not make the team.
Big facts.
Or just cut him before week 10.
Like, yeah, because then he doesn't count.
Yeah,
doesn't
like they did with Dante Moncrief. Yeah. Cut him before week 10. Use him until then. Develop the new rookie, Dan Moore, and then maybe Anthony Coyle or Jaron Jones develops enough. All you need is somebody to be comparable that's even close to as good of an offensive tackle. If it's close, cut Hag, get the sixth-round pick. You're going to need it in the future anyway because, again, there's going to be more guys we're losing next year. And you got to keep on reloading here. Otherwise, you get in a bad situation where you aren't able to field a competitive team. And it's important that they hit in not only this year's draft, but the next couple as well to stay competitive. In recent news similar to this, both Trey Norwood and Presley Harvin III, RPH3, received high praise from Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak. If you listen to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, that's the two experts from the Draft Network. That's all they do all year long is analyze draft picks. And they mentioned that Trey Norwood had some really nice film in 2018, tore an ACL in 19, and then again had nice film in 2020. And they think he projects well as a slot corner and backup free safety, which is exactly what Pittsburgh needs him to be. So maybe he could be a dark horse to actually be the starting corner. We'll see. And with a leg that Presley Harvin III has, of course, everyone's going to be saying that he's really a good selection as well.
I just still can't get over how big that dude is.
Like, did that's you see a dude... how big he used to be?
Yes,
he was 290 pounds, and now he's down to like 256.
He's definitely put on more muscle, I believe.
Yeah,
in you know,
dude's yoked up now.
I just don't even understand. Like, his punting has been a craft for him to be as good at it as he is and at the size that he is and everything. It's just, he reminds me a lot of that Penn State punter.
Oh, yeah.
That, like,
made the kickoff specialist.
Yeah, made ESPN news all the time for wrecking people. And
yeah, he ended up, he was over 315 pounds, man.
He was big.
Big boy.
So I'm just, I think.
That's where I got the thicker kicker from. That's what they called him.
That's what they called him. I genuinely think this guy is going to be, like, he's going to make a Pro Bowl year one. Like,
possible, man.
I'm serious. Watching him punt, I went back because I couldn't believe we drafted a punter.
I told you they were going to do it.
I know you did, but I still couldn't believe it. So I looked at it. I just kept watching film all weekend. Like, I showed my dad for our Mother's Day lunch and stuff, and I'm like, this dude doesn't just punt the ball. He places it.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
He is very...
And he has different styles of kicking to do different... I'm like, this dude's an animal.
That's why he won the Ray Guy Award.
Makes sense.
Best punter in college football.
It makes sense. I'm not saying he shouldn't.
Pittsburgh's got a history of drafting guys that win the Ray Guy Award. Daniel Sepulveda.
Get out.
He was like a two-time Ray Guy winner.
That's insane.
He's also a two-time ACL terror.
Right. I could talk about this punter all day, and it makes me feel weird. Let's go. Move on. Next topic.
All right. We're going to drop that topic, just like the felony charges were dropped against Justin Lane.
That transition, though.
Thank God the felony charge was dropped. He still had to plead guilty on the misdemeanors, but that is a little bit better for him. You could see it only being possibly like a one game suspension. I do anticipate there being a suspension for him
easily.
On this. But again, you're not going to be counting
it'll,
on him.
It'll be four starting. Games minimum
I don't think so.
With a gun involved?
It wasn't a gun crime though.
That's fair. I just think Roger Goodell's going to want to make a statement, and he always does against Pittsburgh. So
yeah, he does. But I mean, he didn't even have any charges for the weed in the car.
Fair.
And the misdemeanor or the felony was for the gun. That was the charge that was dropped.
That's fair. I don't know. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I'm calling four game suspension.
I think one. One game. He's a first time offender.
Okay. We shall see. Listen, something that I'm excited about though, moving forward, training camp has been permitted to be
remote locations.
Remote locations again, which means Pittsburgh will more than likely be in Latrobe. which means Pittsburgh will more than likely be having fans in attendance, which means James and I will probably be going, which means y'all should go and y'all should meet up with us.
Yeah, we'd love to say hi. If it's permitted by then, maybe shake some hands. Yeah, take some photos and post them on the page. We'd love to meet some of you guys and hear more about your stories.
And if we have some merch by then,
it's possible.
We may be bringing some and giving it to you.
Yeah, maybe hooking some people up for making the journey and meeting up with us. That would that's definitely a goal of what we're shooting for here. So we'll let you know more as time gets closer on that. Also, rookie minicamp coming up next week. Minicamp. Next week, we might actually, on the next podcast, have some updates from rookie minicamp.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple guys have already been at rookie minicamp. Some of the, like, not our guys, obviously, but I think, like, the Jets already had their rookie minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, not the Jets, excuse me. Yeah, the Jets.
It could be the Jets. Yeah,
the Jets did. I don't think the Jaguars have yet, but the Jets did because we saw Zach Wilson suited up and everything. So, yeah, it's crazy that it's coming. The season is coming.
Yeah.
It's still pretty far away, but it's... I'm excited.
Hey, speaking of the Jets, did you know the Steelers signed a defensive back formerly of the Jets by the name of Arthur Mullett? He's a safety / nickel corner.
I did know that. I saw it on Facebook. You did. I was very interested about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm just curious as to how he's going to play into the whole lack of depth on our defensive backs positions overall. You know, we talked about having all the strong safety backups. Is this guy going to be able to play free safety? Turns out he can. Just really interested to see what's going to happen with our depth, because I have a feeling some people that were used to saying their names are not going to be on the team anymore or even the practice squad. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, and this is a guy that in the last 2 years had 11 starts over the last 2 years, 7 pass breakups. It's not too bad over 11 starts.
No, not at all.
So especially if you're the nickel corner, you're not expected to get as many targets. So there'll be another guy to compete in that nickel room. Along with Lamont Wade of Penn State, who, again, we talked about him being an undrafted guy that Pittsburgh signed right after the draft. He actually came out and said that he's looking forward to competing in the nickel, thinks he can contribute there more than actually at the safety position.
Very interesting.
So more and more of these guys are starting to look like possible candidates for the nickel. We might have a really big battle royale going on.
Hey, we're down for battle royales. Me and James are always on that war zone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But with the addition of all these players that we keep talking about, Pittsburgh did have to waive other players. So we did waive safety John Battle and cornerback Trevor Williams. Both those guys are off the team.
Yep. So both of those guys were on the practice squad last year, which means they think a little bit higher of the possibilities of some of these new additions than they do of the ceiling of those guys. So right back down to 90 man is where we're at on the roster. But things are starting to take place and we're getting the numbers now of the rookies.
We are. The rookie numbers were released. So we'll go through these with you guys. We're going to start with the man, the myth, the legend, the PH3. Presley Harvin III is number 6.
Man, how are they going to move on from Duck like that? Just give his jersey away like he never even happened.
Listen, he went south for the winter. I don't know. Didn't come back.
Listen, this already could be the best number 6 in team history.
I can't think of any other number 6s. So.
Bubby Brister was number 6.
Yep, best awful. Number 6. Best number 6. No competition. Nothing. Yeah,
it's not a strong competition. I love that he took number 6 just because now I can actually have a good memory of the number 6.
That's fair.
Duck had a good couple games, and then he just absolutely started throwing wounded ducks.
Yeah.
But when Presley Harvin III kicks the ball, it makes it sound like a duck, man, because it's hurting the football when he kicks it that hard.
Yeah, it is. Next number, we're going to go through these in the order of number. Trey Norwood, number 21.
That's a good DB number, man.
That is a good DB number.
Yeah.
Dion
Figures?
You don't remember him, do you? No, I don't remember.
Yes, a former first-round pick of the Steelers at the corner position.
I could have played that off like I did.
Yeah.
Dion, you know.
Oh, I thought he was going to be the next Dion Sanders. He was just the next Dion bum.
21 is just a weird number for me because I always get I always also think about it with running backs.
Yeah. Yeah, the LaDainian Tomlinson was 21, wasn't he?
LaDainian was.
Very good running back.
Who was the last 21 for Steelers running back?
Why do I feel like Amos Zeraway was 21, maybe?
It might have been Amos. Was it? What was What was Staley?
Deuce was like 375 pounds. He had a three-digit number. I think he was 22, honestly.
He might have been 22.
I think he was 22.
So speaking of 22, Najee Harris,
22. That's a good number. It looks That's a lot better on him.
It looks better on a running back, in my personal opinion, than it does a DB. I do like that number, which is weird. 21, 22, just those. I like 21 on the DB and 22 on the running back. So great number for Najee. Yeah. Everyone saw that coming.
It's a good rookie number, man.
Yeah.
That's a first round pick number.
Listen, you want to know who else was a first round pick number?
Yeah.
48. No. But it's not a first round pick.
Stop.
Quincy Roche.
God, why did he do that to himself?
I don't know. Bud Dupree.
There had to be another number available.
It only took Bud 5 years to show anything.
Yeah, four and a half. Take a single digit. Like, you can do that as a linebacker now. Take number five. That's better than 48. Come on.
That's true.
I'd rather see a linebacker with a single digit than a 48.
That is
true. That's so bad.
Listen, you want to know what number does look good on linebackers?
I'm still stuck on 48. Okay, that's such a bad number, though. That's like your fourth string tight end. That's like
it
this,
is. That's this, actually kind of gross. Now
like
that
the
you said
seventh
that,
string safety.
My mental processing was like, oh, Bud Dupree, linebacker.
Yeah.
But as soon as I don't think of Bud Dupree,
no one tight wears end. It.
Or some weird looking fullback.
Yeah. Or a seventh string safety because all the other numbers are gone.
Weird.
Yes, it's a bad choice. Come on, Quincy.
All right.
Here's our best hope is that after the preseason's over and you cut all the guys that are not going to make the team, something frees up that he likes better. Let's get him into something in the 50s or the 90s and save his career.
96. No, that's...
Yeah, why not?
No.
It's kind of a defensive lineman number, but...
Yeah. I don't know why. All right. Anyways, 51. 51 is Bud.
Buddy
Johnson.
I love that.
I enjoy that a lot.
This is a great choice by Buddy Johnson right here. James Ferrier is going to go down as one of the best middle linebackers the Steelers ever had. And they've had a lot of very, very good ones, right? This is a great middle linebacker number.
Great number. I look forward to seeing 51.
I hope he wears a neck roll.
I hope he does.
Tell me, get a neck roll on, buddy. Just start crushing people.
Do it once, just for giggles, but then don't do it again.
On a Monday night.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All right, next number. 53, Kendrick Green.
Well,
that's a good number.
I guess they aren't expecting Pouncey to come out of retirement, huh?
Not at all. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Pouncey say something about it.
I don't know.
A joke.
He's already reaching out to him and congratulating him and everything. I don't know about the 53.
He probably told him to take the number.
He might have.
He could have. He's that kind of
guy.
Why not?
They can't take 52. I think it's retired.
I think you are correct.
Yeah, I think they retired it after Webby.
53, the next number, Kendrick Green.
We just talked about him.
We did. Yeah. Oh, wait, did I say that? I'm sorry.
65. Dan Moore.
Good number. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it.
Gerald Hawkins ain't coming back.
Exactly. Whatever. I'm not even going to get into Gerald Hawkins.
Listen, 65 I feel like is a good number for an offensive tackle. So I like it. It's a good choice. It's not like an ugly, like I don't like 68. Don't do that.
No.
That's a bad one.
I was surprised with the next number though. Okay. And I think it is actually my favorite number on the team.
All right.
As far for the rookies. Pat Freiermuth, 88.
Double eights.
I love it. I'm surprised that number's not retired. I'm surprised.
They had to stop, though. They were going overboard with it, and there were going to be no numbers left.
That's fair. Just start putting them in the triple digits. I don't know.
Listen, I got a question for you.
I have an answer. You're not going to like it.
When Pat Freiermuth starts catching balls for the Steelers, you know they're going to do a chant.
Do you think it's going to be Pat?
Is it going to be Pat, or is it going to be Muth for Freiermuth?
I think it'll be Muth.
I think it should be Muth.
Yeah.
It should be Muth. I'm going to put my vote in for Muth.
It matches the Heath vibe.
Yes.
Jesse.
They did Jesse.
Oh, I hated that one.
Yeah, it didn't really work that
way. No. Muth works.
They would have been better off with James. Yeah. Just went in doubt.
Well, didn't at one point they just started doing the Heath chant?
At the very beginning of his career, yeah. I don't think people realize that this white tight end was different from the last white tight end.
A little bit. And then the last number on the team, not the last number, excuse me, but the last rookie with a new number, but it is the last number for the rookies, 92 for Mr. Whole Milk himself, Isaiah Loudermilk.
Yeah, that's a loud number.
Yeah, it is.
Loudermilk.
You want to know who else was a loud number with 92? James Harrison. He was loud with his muscles.
No doubt.
This guy's loud with his calcium.
Now I understand why they didn't re-sign Ola Danny.
Makes sense.
They knew that Loudermilk would want 92.
And he'd probably perform better.
Yeah. Let's hope.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm down for it. I like
the numbers. Choice.
92 is not... I like it. I know that we've only seen it recently with... Well, not recently, but like with the outside linebackers. But I do like it on the line.
I want to say there were some defensive linemen had 92 back in the day, like maybe Joel Steed, or there were some nose tackles.
Wasn't Hampton 90? He was 90, right?
98.
Correct, 98.
He was 98, yeah.
Yeah. What was Chris Hoke? What was Hoke?
Hokey was 76.
Okay, I knew that he had a weird number.
Yeah, that's what was weird for me when Vince Williams took 98. It's like, how's it going to go from Casey Hampton to a middle linebacker? Yeah.
It's a hard transition. It was weird. Hard transition.
But Vince took it over.
He did.
Vince
and
said,
well
this is me.
It. He did well with it.
I am 98.
It looked good.
I hope I can one day say I'm 98.
No. You want to live to 98? No.
Yeah,
man.
Bro.
Bro, I want to make it to 30 and I'm good.
Yeah. Aren't you like 32?
No, I'm 28. Get out of here with that. All right, let's move on. These people want to hear Steelers news, not talk about my age. Come on.
Okay, listen. So we had a question on Facebook. Not on the Facebook page, but on my personal one. A friend of mine who is also a listener of the show, Jason Sable, asked us, with the projected $74 million in cap space that the Steelers have in 2022, should the Steelers consider tanking in 2021 to get them in a better position to draft a quarterback high in 2022?
I'm assuming you want me to answer this first.
Yeah, I want your opinion first. Yeah, I want your opinion first. I kind of briefly talked about it with him, but we're gonna tackle this a little bit here.
Here's my opinion as a fan. As a fan, absolutely not. They should not tank. It makes zero sense to tank. The Rooneys have already stated they don't do that tanking. They don't rebuild, they reload, all this other stuff. As a fan, I think absolutely not. As a podcast person, as a, I don't want to say a higher end fan, but like a person who pays a little bit more attention than maybe the average viewer, I still think no. I think that they shouldn't do that. It would make no sense. It wouldn't be enjoyable for their fans. It wouldn't be good for their market. Nothing about it is good, and to me would say anything other than that was a waste. Now, here's where I will be weird with it. If I am a NFL coach, or I shouldn't even say coach because that's different, but if I am the you know CEO or the owner,
the general manager,
If I'm the general manager and there is a phenomenal rated quarterback, I'm talking like Trevor Lawrence or better, like that just looks amazing, looks like he'd fit the scheme, plays well, is mature, no off the field issues, all this stuff, would I tank my team for that? Probably. I say that in the sense of I would probably just start younger guys, do more of a in and out thing, get younger guys in more often,
more
the older
rotation.
Guys out more often, improve that rotation for a year, make sure guys are healthy going into the following year, get a young quarterback, have him, and hopefully Ben stays another year to learn from him, and then go hard next year. I think that's my personal opinion. If I was the GM, it's not a smart quote unquote business decision financially, but it is a smart investment into the future of the team and the future of the market. You know, with, you know, teams that don't have a quarterback typically don't go well or don't go far into the playoffs if they don't make the playoffs. And also they typically don't sell out the stands. They don't. That's just how it is. So I think Pittsburgh should not tank, but I think if I was them, I would not maybe tank, but I would figure out a way to do something.
Yeah, so I think it's difficult because tanking is definitely not the Steeler way. By Pittsburgh giving Mike Tomlin a 3-year extension, they're basically saying, do whatever you want. We know there might be some rough years, and we're going to stick with you through it because we think you can be better on the other side of it. I think the difficult part is that you can't just turn Ben Roethlisberger off. You know, he was 3-1 in his touchdown to interception ratio last year. and not really a lot of reason to think that he's going to all of a sudden go in the other direction this year. The wide receiver core is as talented as it's ever been, and now the tight end room is probably better than it's ever been, and arguably maybe the running back room too. I think it's going to be tough to lose enough games to have a high enough pick, even if you like bench your top wide receivers. So you're going to start, what, Deontay Johnson and James Washington instead of Chase Claypool and Juju?
They might have a better game.
You're still really good at the receiver position. You're going to start Freiermuth and bench Eric Ebron? It doesn't really, you know, it's tough. I think the only way you can really do it effectively would be as if you benched Ben and started Mason. But then again, if you do that, then Ben's not going to want to come back for an additional year to mentor another quarterback. He's probably just going to retire if you bench him. And what if Mason pulls together enough good games that you still don't? I mean, he's not going to tank. He's going to have everything to play for. If he wants to ever get a big deal, the opportunity to start with all that talent around him is where it's at. That's how he's going to get paid. So then you're talking about what, putting in Josh Dobbs or Dwayne Haskins? I mean, yeah, Haskins will lose enough games for you. I feel confident in saying that. But I think it would be tough. If they really wanted to do it and make it not look like it, I think their best bet is to start the rookie offensive lineman day one, regardless of performance, and stay with them regardless of performance.
With that being said, Pittsburgh's not going to do that.
Yeah. And honestly, I think Green, the rookie center, might probably start day one anyway. And I don't expect Dan Moore to start this year just because he's probably going to need a little time. So, yeah, it's tough for me. I don't think they should do it. I think they can still be competitive this year. I do worry about the offensive line. Being that they waited until the third and fourth round to address that position. And I just don't think it's in their nature to do it. I don't think it is. I think what you do is you just go see what happens this year. You're going to have a little bit more ammunition than normal. Pittsburgh has proven in the past that if they have compensatory picks, they are okay with moving them or moving a pick that is in similar position to it, knowing that they're going to have a compensatory pick coming in. So they're expecting to get a 3 and a 5 next year, and that's why they traded away next year's 4, because they knew they were going to get that 3 and that 5. But I think if the opportunity came for them to use that extra 3 or that extra 5 or both to move up in the first round to go get a quarterback, not the highest rated one, but maybe the second or third or something, I think they'll do it. I think next year's draft class is what I would have been targeting if I were the Steelers.
Yeah.
That's the one that you're looking at for a quarterback. And this is me saying that without having any idea who the quarterback prospects are. Just, this wasn't the year to do it. When you're sitting at 24, it's too low. You can't get up high enough to get one of the top guys. I mean, by 15, the top 5 were already picked.
Yeah. Yep. And I think moving forward, if Pittsburgh sees somebody they want at quarterback, they'll find a way to get him. I say that understanding that, you know, sometimes it's hard to trade up into the top 3. We saw San Francisco do it this year. But
what did they give up? Like 3 first rounders to do it?
Yeah, they gave up a lot.
That's a lot.
But I think that Pittsburgh moving forward may find someone they like that is a third or fourth rated talent, and they'll go and get them in the second. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I don't see Pittsburgh drafting a first round quarterback unless they just play that bad. If they play that, because it could happen. Let's be real. The other teams around us are building up very well. Not that we aren't, but at that quarterback position, especially, that's so pivotal. Ben could come out and play phenomenal. Ben could come out and play mediocre or decent, I should say, like he did last year. Or he could come out and just play bad. And if he comes out and plays bad, which I don't expect him to, but if he does that and we just wind up losing a lot of games, you're not going to get better play out of Mason Rudolph. Let's be real. You're not going to get better play. Well, maybe. Who knows? Josh Dobbs is a wild card, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Haskins, doubtful. So if they come out and they just lose a lot of games, then maybe they get a first-round quarterback. But that's because they naturally fell into that position. They are not going to purposefully do that.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we stand on that topic there. But excellent question. If any of you have any other questions you'd like addressed, please feel free to just go ahead and ask them on our Facebook page, on Twitter or Instagram, anywhere that you follow us, anywhere you can find us. Put it in there on our personal pages or on the Steelers by the Lake page, and we'll absolutely address it because it's that time of year. You know, we're going to have a little bit of a dry spell, a lot of off-season mini camps going on in the next few weeks here, but there won't be as much news. So we'll have a lot more time to answer any questions you folks may have.
Absolutely. So again, we can't thank you guys enough for liking, following, subscribing, you know, those 5-star reviews. We just appreciate all the love and support from every single one of you guys. Be sure to like and follow if you haven't already on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Steelers by the Lake. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.